Sermons from the Journey is an audio podcast of the weekly message preached by Reverend Rebecca Clark, pastor at Trinity United Methodist Church in Montpelier, Vermont, and blogging online at pastorbecca.com. Thanks for listening.
So this Sunday, as we celebrate that Christ is the light of joy, I wanted to take a little bit of time to think about and to speak about what I think joy is and what I think joy is not. I looked the word joy up in the dictionary because I wanted to see if my definition of joy was sort of the standard and accepted one. After all, joy is my middle name. Quite literally, it is in fact my middle name. And so I have a sense of what I think that means. But when I looked it up in the dictionary, what I found was a sort of very blasé, surface-level definition. It said joy is the state of being happy, basically just akin to happiness. And I was really disappointed with that definition because that's not what I think joy is. I think joy and happiness are two profoundly different things. And I think that joy is something much deeper than mere happiness. And so at least for our purposes, I want to reclaim the word joy, or I want to redefine joy as a spiritual term, as a deeper, more significant spiritual gift, if you will. You see, I think happiness is a response to what's going on in the world around you. Good things happen, and you feel good about that, and so you're happy. And it's kind of that generalized, good-feeling, surface-level stuff. But joy is something much more profound, something much deeper. When we consider Mary, and we consider who she was, and where and when she was living, she is not a person that I think has tremendous reason to be happy. Okay, she is a young woman. She is unwed. As both a female and a person barely out of childhood, she has next to no status in her society. She is worth nothing. Because children are not worth much. If anything, children are only worth the potential of what they can become as wage earners, as those who can protect and provide for their family if they're men, and as those who can be married to somebody who can protect and provide for the family if they're women. But children have very little value in and of themselves. Women have very little value in and of themselves. And so here she is, a barely out of childhood woman in a time and place where that is not just undervalued, but undervalued to the point of almost being reviled. Furthermore, she is living in a place where her people, her religious group of people, are being oppressed and occupied by a foreign nation. The Romans have taken over what was once the nation of Israel, and the people of Israel are under Roman rule and Roman occupation, and so her people are living under an oppressive regime. Although, to be honest and to be fair, even if her regime were to change and the people of Israel were to perhaps come back into their own and have control of their own land again, her situation in life probably wouldn't change much. She seems to be from a very poor family, and that most likely would not change no matter what happened with the government. That's sort of, you know, far away from her reality. And certainly it's not going to change her age and her gender. And so already she is living among an oppressed people, and she herself is most likely very poor. She herself is very young, and she herself is a woman. And all of these things combine to make us look at her with something that would almost be akin to pity. To imagine that hers is not the best lot in life already. She has very little reason to be happy. And then on top of all of that, an angel appears to her. So now she probably thinks she's going crazy. And the angel tells her that, in fact, she is pregnant and is about to bear a child. And now she is living in an oppressive regime. She is poor. She is young. She is a woman. She is unwed. And now she is pregnant. The angel tells her not to be afraid, which is all well and good, and sends her off to visit her cousin or her sister Elizabeth and the child that she is carrying, who will be Mary's child's cousin. And the women get together, and Mary bursts forth in song. And her song is not a song of lament or even a song that is a prayer for strength to carry on in the face of what's happening. Her song begins literally with the word magnify. My soul magnifies my God. I rejoice in my God and Savior. She has no reason to be happy, but she is filled with joy. Those are two very different things. Joy bubbles up from inside Mary, not in response to what is happening in the world around her, but in response to what is happening within her. Not the pregnancy, not specifically that. Her faith, her trust in God, her belief that it is and will be okay and blessed and magnificent. And she gives glory to God, magnifies the Lord, rejoices in her God and Savior. You see, I think this light of joy, carries with it all the other light that we have talked about, little pieces of it. You see, it's a piece of that light of grace and salvation. Joy comes from knowing that we have a second chance at relationship with God, from knowing that we are forgiven, that we are given grace, that we are offered healing, salvation, new life. And joy comes most certainly from knowing deep down that we are beloved by God, despite and perhaps because of all of our little human idiosyncrasies, we are beloved by God, and we have love to share and others to share it with. And joy comes from that deep-rooted sense of being loved and being able to love. And joy comes, we hear it from Mary's lips, joy comes from the hope for justice. Justice that we may not see, that may not be realized yet, but justice that Mary proclaims is coming into the world. Her soul magnifies her God who pulls unholy, oppressive, haughty rulers from their thrones and puts the poor and the weak in places of power. The God who fills those who are hungry with good things and sends those who already have more than enough away. Justice, fairness is coming, is present in this world, and Mary, who lives in perhaps one of the most unjust situations, particularly for a woman of her status, is able to not only hold out some faint hope for that justice, but to proclaim it and to draw joy from it. And so Mary, who has seen so little of justice in her world, believes in the justice and the truth that God is bringing. And Mary, who has seen perhaps very little love in the world, draws from the love that she has experienced in God, and Mary, who has known little to nothing of grace, of salvation, of healing, draws strength from the faith she has in God's grace, in what God is doing to heal and to strengthen and to sustain, to give a second chance. And from that place, she overflows with joy, not because of what's happening around her, but because of what is happening within her. Mary magnifies the Lord. You see, joy is not about denying or hiding the pain that exists in the world. You know, I've heard people say, and somebody once said to me, you know, you Christians are such a cheerful bunch. And on the one hand, I mean, thank you. We hope that we seem to be friendly and nice and cheery. But on the other, I hope we are not merely cheerful. Or I hope that cheerfulness, that happiness that is projected out is not an inauthentic veneer. It kind of reminds me of jewelry. You know, you have jewelry that's solid gold, and then you have jewelry that's gold-plated. And it has another metal inside it, and just kind of gold on the outside, right? And cheerfulness or happiness, that surface-level stuff, is kind of like joy-plated, you know? There is sorrow or grief or pain that is pushed down inside, and we just kind of gloss over the top of it to make it look shiny and pretty, and we pretend that we are happy, but really we're not. We've taken the vital and true existence of life, some of which is painful, some of which is sorrowful, and we have either ignored it or suppressed it. And we cover it with a happy face. That is not joy. That might be joy plating. True joy is to acknowledge that there is pain, there is grief, there is sorrow and suffering and hurt and badness in the world, in our lives. And yet we proclaim faith in the midst of that. And yet we magnify the Lord with praise in the midst of that. That is joy. It bubbles up from inside us with something that is truer and deeper than surface level happiness. Solid gold joy. 24 carat joy that springs up from within us. It is not dependent on what's happening outside us. It is not a reaction to the world around us. It is a response to God's work within us. Our prayer time today was particularly long. We lifted many prayers together as a community today. Some of them, yes, were prayers of thanksgiving and joy. We magnify God with our praise. But many of them were prayers of concern, of pain, of grief, prayers for healing in body and spirit, prayers of profound sorrow and pain. We don't ever want to hide that. There's nothing wrong with that. There is nothing about sorrow or grief or pain that is unholy, or is foreign to the human experience or the experience of a person of faith. We lift up and we honor those prayers. And although it may seem counterintuitive, it is part of how we bear the light of joy. Oh, we bear the light of joy to the world in many ways. We bear the light of joy when we laugh. When we laugh at videos and jokes, when we share puns and silly stories. We laugh when we work together in fellowship and we have a great time. I mean, I think that chicken pie supper is one of my favorite times of year. And, you know, I honestly believe that if no person bought a single ticket and we had no one to serve, that we would still do chicken pie supper because we have so much fun. We get to laughing and joking around in the kitchen and the pie room, and we're having just a complete blast. We are sharing the light of joy. We share the light of joy when we gather together for picnics or for fellowship events, and we surround each other with love and with laughter. And I do think that laughter and play are very holy because they help us express the light of joy. But we also bear the light of joy when we hear and hold one another's pain. When we lift those prayers of concern, of grief, of deep woundedness, Because we are allowing the two to exist side by side in the world, the joy and the grieving, the good stuff, the cheerfulness, and the deep brokenness. To deny one is to deny, in a sense, the other. Because both are part of our human existence. Both are part of what it means to be whole. Both are part of what it means to love and to cherish one another and to wound, to hurt, to grieve when someone we love is lost or is suffering. You see, we could take and shape our lives around and in response to grief and sorrow in a couple of different ways. We could, as I mentioned earlier, hide it, suppress it, pretend it's not there, and live a life of joy veneer, of empty happiness, just putting on the show. Or we could live instead in that sorrow and despair and grieving all the time and say life is suffering and there is nothing else that we can hold on to. We're going to stay in that place. But true joy, is holding both of those things together. And that takes incredible strength. That takes incredible faith. Mary never denies who she is. The gospel never shies away from who Mary is. She is a poor, unwed, pregnant teenage woman in an oppressive society. And her soul magnifies the Lord. To hold those two things together, the pain and brokenness of this world, and the joy and hope, takes incredible faith and incredible strength. Now, one of the ways that we are specifically bearing the light of joy in the world this year is in a special service that we're doing this week, this Wednesday night. And it's called the Longest Night Service. It's also some other churches who do similar service call it the Blue Christmas Service. It's specifically designed to be a worship service for those in need of light in the midst of darkness, for those for whom merry and happy and bright and cheery do not describe the Christmas season or the patch of time from Thanksgiving through New Year's. For some folks, it's because they've lost someone they love right around Christmas time. But it could be any time. Or they lost someone they loved in the past year or in any year. But that makes the holidays incredibly difficult to bear. Or for folks who are very concerned about a loved one far away or a health condition that they or someone that they love is struggling with. It's so hard to break out of that and to celebrate the holidays and wish everybody a Merry Christmas and Happy New Year and, you know, put on that smile. It becomes a veneer. It becomes fake if we can't deal with and name the pain that is there. It's one of my favorite services to do and to participate in for that reason, because I think it is the very essence of what Advent is about, of what Christmas is about, that even and especially in the darkness, in the places of pain and hopelessness, there is light. There is the presence of Christ. And I'll be honest that I haven't done it here before. I've done it at my previous church, my previous appointment, but this is the first year that I'm offering this service at Trinity. And yes, before I had two churches, and so there wasn't a whole lot of time, but that's not the only reason. This is the first year I've really felt like I'm in a place where I can lead this service and articulate that hope in the midst of darkness. One year we lost my stepfather right at Christmas time. And then the year after that, we had recently lost the baby. And it's hard to articulate hope and joy. As I said, it takes incredible strength and incredible faith. And sometimes it takes healing and time to come to a place where you can hold those two things together in tension and proclaim and magnify the Lord. It takes some time. But if you or someone you know is in that place, I would encourage you, I would invite you to come and to share in this service, because it is the essence of Christmas, that even and especially where we are most hurting, we can find and celebrate joy. Joy that comes not as a reaction to what's happening around us, because what's happening around us can be very painful, but joy that springs up from within us in response to what is happening inside us, what God is doing in us. Joy that is founded on our knowledge that we are loved and we have love to share. The grace and the healing, the new relationship that we are offered in Christ. And the justice and the fairness that we hold out hope for. The peace that comes not from an absence of conflict, but from justice covering the earth. And in the face of a world that is sometimes without much grace and without much love and without much justice, we experience these things in faith, and they fill us with joy. Joy that's not about what is outside, but what is happening inside. That we may bear the light, all of the light, grace and love and justice and joy, to the world, this Christmas and always. Amen.